Good morning, everyone. How are you all? Congratulations on making it to church today. I guess there's some sort of congratulations in order, some sort of catastrophe out there, kept everybody else away. But glad that you came. It is a good morning, isn't it? And a couple quick announcements. Tomorrow is our neighborhood Halloween party. Nothing. Crickets, right, you guys? This is exciting. We're reaching out to our neighborhood. We're being the kingdom. This is what the church is all about. So in case maybe you're here and you're thinking, what's church all about? We're an extension of God's kingdom on the earth, right? We're taking what's on God's heart, and we're going, hey, this is what's on God's heart, and we're going to manifest that into our city, and we're going to extend God's kingdom. So if in case you misunderstood somehow that church was just about gathering on Sundays, let me just remind you, this is what it's about. So when we do stuff like Halloween party, that's exciting because we're being the church. We have an opportunity to be the church, to love our neighborhood, to love our city, to love them in fun ways and practical ways, to show them the love of God. And so it's going to be great. So we're going to be here tomorrow. If you could be here anytime after 4 o'clock, I'll be here at 4 o'clock. We'll start setting up and all that stuff. Trick-or-treating in Moline is between 5 and 8, and that's when we run the party. We're going to have a magician in here. We're going to have a face painter in here. We're going to have a professional premium gold-level balloon twister in here. Yes, and it's going to be a wonderful time. And, of course, we're going to give out boatloads of candy. I promise Wendy and I did not eat it all last Tuesday night. But it's going to be a great time. And then also preview. Mercy Vineyard Preview is November 13th. That's Sunday, November 13th. Come and be a part of that if you've not been to Preview yet and learn about what the church is all about, where we came from, where we're going, what we're all about, how you can get involved, how you can become a member, all that stuff. That's November 13th, so just put on your calendar. Let us know if you can make it so we can get enough food for you. We'll feed you and all that stuff. So it will be wonderful. So I think I've met everybody here. I'm pretty sure I've met everybody here. My name is Lee. I'm the lead pastor here. Just want to share our church mission with you one more time. Well, not one more time. I'm going to share it every Sunday until we decide to stop sharing it. But we are living, say it with me, we are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. So that's what we're all about. This morning, we are wrapping up our three-part series on fear. So it's been a great series. You know what's crazy? Here's something crazy. So we're wrapping up our three-part series on fear. And I'm pretty sure somebody tried to mug me this morning. And I'm not that I'm thinking about it, okay? So, like, I'm sitting over at Stevens Park enjoying my weekly bottle of yerba mate tea and donut from Old Town Bakery, which is what I like to do on Sundays. If you're like, what does Lee do on Sundays while the worship team is practicing and Lee's not on the worship team? That's it. So I'm sitting out there. I'm kind of going over my sermon notes, enjoying my donut, enjoying my tea, kind of have my phone open, checking in, you know, all this stuff. And I look in my rearview mirror, and I see this pretty big guy, like almost Ryan Neumeier big, almost. And, So since you, I think you there's magical properties about your size, so that's why I'm saying no, he's not, but you are. Okay, so anyway, big guy, he's wearing like a long black leather jacket, and he's holding like a big old tree branch. And he's standing behind my car for a long time. And he's standing there, and he's looking in the window. And I'm like, what's this guy doing? And so I sit there, and then he makes his way around to the passenger side. And he comes up, and he's holding this thing, and he's just staring at me for the longest time. So finally, I just go, you know, like this. And he goes, like that. And I'm like, I don't even know what this means. It took me a while. Like later on, I'm like, hey, I think that's money. And yeah, Andy's like, yes, okay, confirmation, that's money. So he does this to me. And I go, and he does it again. And I just went, phone time, not you, you're not here. And so he turns around, tosses his branch, and walks off. And that was it. And I thought to myself, it took me a while, but I was like, hey, I think that guy was trying to mug me. It was his first time. Yeah, he's still new at it, so, you know, it's like a salesman for the first time, kind of gives up fast, you know, kind of. And so it was crazy. And so that was like my morning. So my morning kind of started off with, like, you know, a little bit of fear, but it was one of those things where it's like you're afraid after the fact, because in the moment, you really don't know what's going on. You're like, why is this weird guy holding a branch and staring at me? And so he left. But last week, we talked about fear, actually the fear of change. Y'all remember that? We're talking about the fear of change and how God is our trustworthy guide, and he's there for us through change, because change is hard, right? And that God has plans for good for us, that God goes before us in difficult transitions, that actually whatever's around the corner, God's already there. He's already seen it. God's already at November 9th, so he knows who won the election. God's already around the corner when people are talking about layoffs at work. God's already around the corner when you're unexpectedly expecting a child. God's already around the corner. He's already waiting. He already knows what's there. So we don't need to be afraid through change, okay? And he's already there with us. But today, what I want to do is I actually want to talk about actually the number one fear. So when you talk to people, what's your number one fear? And we did kind of silly fears last week when we went out to the mall and we asked people what their greatest fear was. We had like three people said clowns, and some weirdo said mall Santas. And so anyway, you know, we want to talk about the number one fear that holds people back. It holds people back from doing things with their lives that are significant, that are meaningful, that matter. It's one of the greatest fears that people, face. And it's the fear that keeps people in loneliness. It's a fear that keeps people stuck in an unfulfilling career. It keeps people from attempting what they dream about. And it's the fear of failure. That's like the biggest fear. I was really actually surprised by that. I would have thought it was something else. But really, fear of failure is just huge. And lots of people face the fear of failure. They're worried that they don't want to start things because they're worried that they're going to fail. They don't want to go enter into a healthy relationship because they're afraid that they're going to fail. They don't want to go for that job that they really want because they're afraid that they're going to fail. And the fear of failure holds a lot of people back. And in fact, I remember just a few years ago, I really struggled with the fear of failure. I remember that Wendy and I, we had tried to start a new church in Ireland. Remember that, babe? Yeah, how could you forget? We sold everything, okay? So literally, we sold everything. And friends, we got support from friends. We moved to another country. I mean, it was a really, really big deal. And I remember just showing up to the airport with all that I owned, almost all that I owned. We checked in, like our baggage, we overstuffed them, we borrowed suitcases, we checked in like Rubbermaid tubs, at check-in, and we just, basically burnt our bridges and went, let's go. And so we went out there and just failed. I mean, it was so, so difficult. And so we came back to the States. And a few years later, we decided we were going to start another church. Let's start a church. Yeah, after the first one. So let's start another church. And so we went to actually my hometown. And you would think starting a church in your hometown would be like, hey, no-brainer, right? All your friends, you got all your family, they're all there to support you. All of our friends, actually, when they found out that we were going to do it, I was calling them up from Connecticut. We were living in Connecticut. We were like, we're going to move to Wisconsin to start a church. And all our friends were like, yeah, I'm on it. As soon as you come, I'm there. And listen, anytime you try to start something that takes a lot of effort and a lot of people, you'll find that there's a lot of people in your life that are like cheering you on. And then as soon as you pull the trigger, they back off. And that happens. And that's, I remember when that happened to us. So we moved back home. We got this building ready, and we spent a lot of money. We tried to raise money. We recruited friends, and it was huge. I mean, it consumed our lives for months, and within a year, it just failed, And so here we had two failed church plants under our belts. We had sacrificed tons. We put in a lot of work, a lot of money. And so you can imagine how I felt when Pat Street, our sending pastor at Vineyard Davenport, came up to me and said, how do you guys feel about starting a church in Moline? It's like, no. Been there, done that, failed at it. That was my first response. And I didn't want to have anything to do with planting another church because I knew how hard it was, and we'd already failed at it twice. And so the fear of failure was huge, going into it. And I just thought I would be repeating the last two church planting experiences. And so I dealt with a lot of fear of failure moving into, you know, planting this church. And so, you know, I'm not the only one, because people face failures, right? Anybody here like to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken? I'm sorry, KFC? Anybody, like nobody wants to admit that, you know? It's like saying you like to eat at McDonald's, even though everybody does, you know? But, like, did you know this Colonel Sanders, KFC, that he had submitted his chicken recipe to, like, 2,000 restaurants around the country who all rejected him, you know? And I'm sure, like, every one of them are, like, wishing that they wouldn't have now, because when a restaurant finally accepted his recipe, they turned into this mega franchise. They're all around the world. There's KFC in Ireland. Isn't that weird? That's just bizarre. When you go to Ireland and you're like, they're playing American music and there's KFC there and stuff, it's kind of strange. But, like, so, and then, you know, Thomas Edison, he failed 1,000 times before successfully inventing a light bulb. 1,000 times. Most people, I think, after like a dozen, maybe, like, oh man, this is too much, I gotta move on to something else. Most people would concede after like a dozen times or 25 times, 1,000 times. I thought that's huge, but he moved on. You know, Henry Ford, I don't know if anybody here drives a Ford. Does anybody drive a Ford? Here, a few people, okay. Do you know Henry Ford had 5 failed companies before he started the Ford Motor Company? Wow, 5 failed companies, but he didn't let the fear of failure stop him. He's like, I'm gonna do it again. I'm going to do it again, right? And so maybe you've got a few failures under your belt. I don't know. I might be the only one here with a few failures under his belt. I'll just preach to me. Maybe you have a failed relationship under your belt. Maybe you have a failed career. Maybe you failed to achieve your goals. I've mentioned a lot over the last 5 years that I have this goal of being 10 pounds lighter, and I'm no closer to it than I was 5 years ago. But maybe you failed to achieve your goals. It's so easy to let, you know, failures produce a fear in you where you just stop trying. You become discouraged. You just, there's the fear of failure. You just don't want to do it anymore. It becomes tiresome. Failure is tiresome. You ever notice that? You fail at something, you feel tired. Like when we closed the door to the church in Wisconsin, I just remember feeling exhausted. Just like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to try anything like this again. I want to go back to being a church employee, because we were a church employee before that. You know, that was so much easier. Being a church employee is so much easier, because you're not the guy who's looking at the bills and counting, you know, attendance and offering and all that stuff. You just kind of do your ministry and you don't worry about all the details. And so that was like a wonderful thing. But fear will keep you from trying, and it makes you want to play it safe, and you don't want to try anything big, because you just don't want to suffer another failure, right? And so, truth be told, the only one in the whole world who can ever claim that they've never failed is the person who's never tried anything. Truth, you know? The only one who could say, you know what, I've never failed at anything, it's because you've never tried anything. And so, I want to encourage you today, as we move forward, as we dive into this, not to give up trying. And so, what do we do? How do we overcome the fear of failure? How do we push through it and find success? Can I just tell you, first of all, it's not easy. I'm not going to give you one weird trick to overcome fear of failure, okay? It's not easy. It's not real simple. But we're going to dig into it just a little bit. But first, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you because you are the God who knows our beginning from our end. You are the God who never fails. You, God, are the one who does mighty things and great exploits, your word says, mighty deeds. But God, you never fail at it. And so, Lord, we want to learn from you today. We want to learn from your word. I ask, God, that you would open it up to us, that you would speak to us. And, Lord, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's start off. We're going to take a look at, like, a super popular scripture. Most people here have probably already heard this scripture. Even if you've never read your Bible, you've probably heard this scripture. Excuse me, it's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. And in just a few short words, Scripture gives us the best advice we'll ever find on succeeding at something. And it goes like this. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Okay? Now, this is super simple. We're going to dig into it. Why don't you just say it with me, though, okay? Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. And in the Scripture, we can find freedom from failure, all right? So why do I use this scripture? I think one of the mistakes that a lot of people make when they read this scripture is they think, okay, I'm going to make a plan, I'm going to stamp the God card on it, and I'm going to succeed. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We make a plan. Doesn't matter where the plan came from. We could just pull that plan right out of our armpit and go, God bless it. I commit it to you. And we think it's going to succeed. And then when it doesn't, we think, God let us down. God, where were you? I committed my plans to you. Where were you? Okay? And so that's not what I'm saying. And I don't believe that's what the scripture's saying either. Just whatever plan that you have, whatever you thought you think of, just commit it to the Lord and you're going to succeed. So I'm going to paraphrase this passage for you and hope that I don't hear it from the Lord on Judgment Day. Because I think it's still very true to the scripture. But here I'm going to paraphrase the scripture, and here's how the Liebezot version of the scripture goes, okay? It says this: let God decide what your actions are going to be, and your plans will succeed. Y'all see the difference between that? Let God decide what your actions are going to be, and your plans will succeed. I think it's so important that when we're planning our lives, when we're planning our relationships, when we're planning what we're going to do, when we're making our decisions, that rather than just kind of go, here's my plan, or here's my desire, or here's what I want, and going, God, I commit this to you, instead we go, God, what is it that you want for my life? God, what is it that you want for me? Let God decide what your actions are going to be, and then your plans will succeed. Okay, does everybody see the difference? A little bit of sleepiness. You got to kind of shrug the sleepiness off. Go ahead, just shrug it off. I know it's kind of a gray day outside, and most people are looking forward to catching a little sweat pant time this afternoon, but that's this afternoon. Keep your real pants on right now and listen, okay? And so let God decide. You guys understand the difference between committing your plans to the Lord and letting God decide what your plans are going to be. That's huge, okay? Because when we let God decide what sort of relationships that we're going to be in, what sort of investments we're going to make, when we let God decide what our goals are going to be, it removes the guesswork out and wondering whether it's the right thing or not. You ever have an idea and go, this is a great idea, and then we start to move forward with it and we go, I wonder if that's the Lord. But I wonder if that's the Lord. We kind of wonder if that's the Lord. You know, rather than doing that and making plans and trying to get God blessed, let's just go to God and go, okay, God, just tell me what to do. God, you lead me. You guide me. You show me. You direct my life. You direct my path. God, you're the best life coach on there. You know there is. You know the beginning from the end. God, you decide what's right for me. And it's so important that we let God, all right? And sometimes what we do is we experience like a string of failures simply because we're not letting God decide what path we're going to take, right? We get into bad relationship after bad relationship, right? So we're with some abusive guy or with some girl that just is pulling us further away from God's priorities for our lives, or we do, you know, things like that, and we, after bad relationship, and we just feel like, I don't know why, I pray and God doesn't bless me, God doesn't bless my relationship, my relationships fail over and over and over again. It's because we're not letting God decide, make those decisions for us in relationships. Or we make financial investments, or we take jobs simply because, you know, we need the money. And I think you need the money is a great, you know, motivator for getting a job. But sometimes we take a job that pulls us away from God's priorities for our lives because we're not waiting for Him to show us where to go, what to do. We're not letting Him guide our paths. We're letting a need in our life guide our path instead of God. So you all know the difference now? Okay? When you let God decide, when you let God make decisions for you, let Him decide your actions, what they're going to be, then your plans will succeed. All right? God doesn't want us just to go out there and then ask Him to bless it. Okay? And so we experience a string of failures because we're not letting God determine which path to take. So when we know it's the... Because here's the thing that's super important. Put this next one on the screen. When we know it's the right thing, okay, we can press through the fear of failure. When you go, you know, but God told me to do this, and I know it's the right thing, so even though I'm afraid of failure, even though some things go wrong, even though things make me want to give up, you can stand and you go, but God led me to do this. But God told me to do this. And that's huge. And there's been a lot of times in my life, especially in ministry, where I've wanted to give up. I've wanted to like, I'm done. I'm just done with this. This is way too hard. And the only thing that's kept me going is knowing that God led me to do it. And when you know God led you to do it, you know it's the right thing, and you don't let fear of failure stop you. And you don't let discouragement stop you, and you don't let setbacks stop you. Instead, you go, God led me to do it, so I'm going to press through, afraid or not afraid, with provision or without provision, with support or without support. God led me to do it. I know in my heart that it's the right thing, and so I'm going to keep doing it. Okay? That's why we need to let God determine our actions, because when He determines our actions and we know it's Him and we know it's the right thing, we can press on. Right? Okay. Thank you. So we know it's the right thing, we can press through the fear of failure. That's just my main point today. If you remember one thing, remember that. When we know it's the right thing, it's a God thing, we can press through the fear of failure. So I didn't let failure stop us from planting this church, which Wendy and I have had many nights where we've sat up wringing our hands, many days where we've gone, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And we didn't let fear of failure stop us because we took the time to hear God's heart on the matter before we stepped out and did it. Okay? We took the time to spend time with the Lord, to pray about it, to seek godly counsel, to seek God's word, and we knew that it was God before we stepped out and did it, so that when those discouraging times came, when the fear of failure crept in, we're like, but we knew God, we know God called us to do it, so we're going to keep doing it. So we're just going to keep doing it, right? I knew it was the right thing, so I didn't let fear stop me. And so you might be asking, well, what about the two failed churches? Right? Did you miss out? What about those two failed churches? Did anybody think that? Yeah, okay. Well, okay, good. Were those outside of God's will? Were those things that we stepped forward, where we really believed that God spoke to us and God led us, were those, you know, what about those? Were those failures? And I remember even, you know, back in youth ministry days, Wendy and I interviewed at a church in New Mexico. Do you remember that? Oh, man, we wanted to be at that church so bad. And we went and we had amazing interviews and we laughed and we had a great time. And when the pastor was driving us back to the airport, he's like, you know, you guys, you got it. Don't worry about it. When I get back, I'm going to meet with the board and we're going to determine all the details about your position here and when we're going to move you out here and all that. And then when we got home, we didn't hear back from him for like 2 months. Finally, they called back and said, no, you didn't get it. And we were like, but we thought that. Okay, so let me just kind of explain this to you, all right? What about this? What about the failures in our lives where we believe that God spoke to us, where we believe that we were moving on? What about those? When we let God determine our actions, this is so important. He determines what success looks like too. Okay? When we let God determine what we're going to do, when we let God determine our actions, and we follow His direction, then we let Him determine what success looks like too. Because here's the thing about success. We have this idea that success is over the top, right? We have idea that success is, you know, this sort of like prosperous experience, you know. Or maybe if you have a dream to be a musician, your idea of success is to, you know, get this seven-figure, recording contract and this touring schedule and all this stuff. And you know what? God may be calling you into singing just so that you can bless your neighbors or bless your church or bless, you know. And so we got to let God determine what success looks like. And it's and a lot of times it's not this over-the-top experience that we think success is going to be. All right? And so we have to understand, because first of all, if you think that every time that you have a dream or you have an idea, that it has to go over the top, right? It has to just be slam dunk, out of the park, whatever sports reference you want to add to it, it has to be that. When we think it's that, that's way too much pressure. It's way too much pressure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, here's the thing. Some of you guys know that I wrote a book recently. I released a book. And if my idea of success for that book would have been number one on the New York Times bestseller, I never would have wrote it. I never would have. That would have been way too much pressure. I would have done like seventh drafts, eighth drafts, tenth drafts. You know, I would have worked on that thing and worked on that thing for 25 years and never released it because my idea of success would have been, psh. And I just decided, you know what, my idea of success is if a few family and friends read it and a couple of people are blessed by it, amen, we did it, success, you know. And so you have to understand that when you do this thing that, like, it's all over the top, that, you know, that's not always God's definition of success. And that's way, way, way too much pressure, and you'll probably never do it. You'll probably just never get around to it because you're too afraid that you're not going to attain that goal. And guess what? You're probably not going to attain that goal. I don't want to deflate any dreams right now. But if you have dreams of being an author, you're probably not going to be a New York Times bestseller, especially not on your first book. Okay? If you have dreams of, you know, of starting a business, you're probably not going to make the Fortune 500 in your first year. I just want to just kind of relieve you of some of the pressure. I'm not speaking failure to you. I just want to relieve you of some of that pressure and just say, just go forward, do the small things, take the small steps. Okay? It's funny because I meet guys that want to start ministries, and the first thing they do is go get business cards made. And they, why? You know, and then they come to me for a website. I tell them, yeah, you know what, come back after you've prayed for a couple people one-on-one. You know, come back after you've done your ministry on a small level, rather than going out of the gates like you're an international, you know, thing. And so just understand that God's word says, despise not the day of small beginnings, okay? And if God's word says, despise not the day of small beginnings, that's okay. That's okay. Just okay, be faithful, all right? And so when we first launched the church, I remember my idea of success was we were going to outgrow the building in the first year. That was my idea. We were going to outgrow this building in the first year. We're going to hit 250 inside of 2 years. That was my idea. You know, seriously, we had guys kind of speak words into us. And, oh, yeah, I can see totally. I can see you guys crossing 250 and, you know, all those things. And I remember for a year or two, I was so disappointed all the time. Like, I walked around disappointed. I'd come to church, I'd be disappointed. Oh, we haven't doubled yet. We've not grown this building yet. And all the time, God was doing these really cool things in our midst. God was touching people. God was healing people. God was drawing people to himself. God was using us to make a difference in our neighborhood. And I was going, oh, but we haven't outgrown this building yet. You know? And so we have to understand that God's idea of success isn't always our idea of success. Now I get all excited because week after week I hear cool stories. And that just really trips my trigger. That really turns me on. I'm like, really? That's awesome. Somebody was healed? Really? That's awesome. Somebody was struggling with fear for years and now they're set free? Oh, that's awesome. Really? Somebody, you know. And so I had to understand that God's idea of success can be different from ours. And when we set this over-the-top definition of success, it's just too much pressure and we walk in disappointment because we're not succeeding. But when God determines our actions, he determines what success looks like, okay? And so for some people, success in God's eyes is just simply completing the project, right? Some people, that's God's idea of success for you. Just finish what I told you to do. Just finish what you started. Just what I told you to do, finish it, regardless of what your ideas of success look like. Okay? Sometimes that's God's idea of success for you, is just finishing it. Just reaching the finish line, with or without your expectations being met. All right? I heard it said this way one time, and it's that too many people get caught up with the S word. You know, too many people get all about the S word, and really, God's not into the S word. God really likes the F word. And so we think that God's all about success, the S word. But you know, God's not so interested in the S word. God loves the F word, and that's faithfulness. You thought I was going to say something else. No, you didn't. So, you know, God's just interested in our faithfulness. That's what God wants to see from us. What does God want from us? Our faithfulness. That we're faithful to do what he's led us to do. We're faithful to do what he's called us to do, no matter how strange or outrageous it is, and put our ideas of success in his hands and just be faithful. Because you never know. You just never know. You never know who you're reaching. You never know who you're touching. You just never know, okay? And God is pleased with our faithfulness. And sometimes the journey of faithfully following God's direction is more important than the outcome we're expecting, right? I'm gonna say that again because I really want that to sink into you, all right? Sometimes the journey of faithfully following God's direction is more important than the outcome we were expecting, right? So even, you know, our trip to Ireland 2 years, or that was more than 2 years ago, it was 17 years ago, you know, getting old, yeah, you know, I think that God was pleased by our faithfulness. God was pleased by our faithfulness, okay? We were willing to risk big for the Lord because faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? And so we take risk for the Lord, and God was pleased with that. And so even though we came back kind of with our tail between our legs, you know, humbled by the whole experience, God was pleased by our faithfulness. God was pleased that we stepped out, okay? And so I remember just even the last two church plants that we did, I grew tons. I grew loads, right? Didn't you, honey? You grow a lot, even through failed experiences, okay? You just grow tons. And so the truth is, we're all going to fail at stuff. All of us are going to fail at stuff. There's going to come a day when I get a one-star review on my book. Yeah, I know. Maybe. And so, you know, or there's going to come a time when, you know, we do a program and we say we're going to do this and it just falls flat, right? We had training for a program last night. You guys want to know how many people showed up for the spiritual direction training last night? Nobody. Okay? But does that mean we go, well, I don't know, man. Maybe we should just not do that whole spiritual direction thing at the Halloween party. Oh, man, maybe we should just stop praying for people. No. It means we were faithful to do what God has led us to do, and he's going to honor that. Okay? And so we just keep moving forward. We keep doing what God wants us to do, and we let him determine what success looks like. We continue to be faithful because God loves our faithfulness, right? Okay? And so we're all going to fail at stuff. But failure is really, it's just kind of a roadmap to success. If we look at failure and we learn from our mistakes and we learn from the things that kind of fall flat, you know, we understand that God uses them to grow us. All right? This church wouldn't have lived for, you know, more than a year if it weren't for our two failures. I'm just saying. All right? We never would have lasted a year as Mercy Vineyard if we wouldn't have had two church plant failures to learn from before we did this. Okay? And so we have to understand that our failures are our roadmaps to success. We learn things through our failures. So rather than failing and falling into self-pity and falling into fear and fear of failure, we learn from our failures and we move forward, okay? And that just leads us to the last thing, okay? If we're going to, you know, no matter what God is leading us to do, no matter what it is, it's really hot in here. I just realized that. I am burning up in here. Yeah, can I get an amen? Yeah. It's really hot in here. And so I'm standing here. Are you wearing shorts, Andy? What? Oh, okay. Yes, it's comfortable. So, you know, so whatever it is that God calls us to do, whatever it is that is leading us, if when we let God determine what our actions are going to be, and when we let God determine what success is going to look like, then we can be willing to just to do it afraid. Just do it afraid. Whatever God's calling you to do, because you're going to have fear. You're going to have fear. Just do it afraid. I remember way back in the day, I think Forrest was just a baby, and I was taking like a karate class. And it was this crazy, crazy karate class that I wouldn't recommend any of you taking. I mean, it was like, we're talking 3.5, 4-hour classes, and it was just insane, and we would have all this time of sparring. Our sparring time, actually what they did is they called it a bull ring, and so you got in the bull ring. In other words, if you turned your back on your opponent, if you stepped out, there were guys in the ring to push you back in. And so it was sort of like Fight Club in that sense without anybody looking near as good as Brad Pitt. And so we did this thing, and I remember one time, getting in the bull ring with a guy that was just humongous. It was like getting in with Hagrid, okay? And so you can appreciate that, right? So I was like getting in with a giant. He was a massive guy. I don't even know where they found a uniform to fit him. And he was humongous. And I had to get in the bull ring with the guy and fight him. And all I could do was just keep telling myself, just do it afraid. Just do it afraid. Just do it afraid. I was petrified. I won. But I did it afraid. It was because I did it afraid, all right? And sometimes we just have to realize that there are things in our lives that even though we're afraid of doing it, we've got to do it anyway. We've just got to do it anyway. And a lot of times, those things are the most rewarding things we ever go through, right? When we do them afraid. When we like, that's kind of brings a little fear in me. I'm a little worried about that. That's a little beyond my comfort zone. That's like something that I'm not used to doing. That's kind of crazy. We just do it afraid, and when we're done, we're like, I'm so glad I did that. I am so glad that I did that. I'm so glad that at the end of my life now, I can look back and go, I did that. I did that. That was significant to me. That was meaningful. And so we have to learn just do things afraid. You've heard me say that again. You know, when we started the church, we do it afraid. But here's the thing about fear. When we're afraid to do something, and I'll just keep coming back to the example of the church, okay? I was afraid of starting a church, but here's the thing. I was more afraid of what the Quad Cities and my life would look like if I didn't do it. Y'all catch that? That's just like people, you know, a lot of people, they're afraid to start like an exercise program. They're afraid to just start working out, start changing their diet. They're afraid of how that's going to change their lives or whatever. But you know, I like to think, I'm more afraid of what my life's going to look like if I don't start that program. I'm more afraid of what my city's going to look like if I don't, you know, start reaching out and talking to people and getting out of my comfort zone. I'm more afraid of what's going to happen in my church in a year if I don't get the courage to start giving. I'm more afraid of what my kids' lives are going to look like if I don't start laying down some discipline and being, you know, steady and consistent in the way that I'm raising them, right? Because a lot of people, they're afraid to be disciplined, you know, discipline their kids because they're afraid that their kids won't like them, right? Well, what if they don't like me? You know what? You need to be more afraid of what their lives are going to look like in 5-10 years if you don't start disciplining them, okay? And so we have to understand that a lot of times we do things afraid because we're more afraid of what's going to happen if we don't do it than what's going to happen if we do. So it's so important that we learn to do things afraid, okay? We can't always wait for warm and fuzzy feelings and feel good about things, you know. We can't always just wait for warm, fuzzy feelings before we step out into God's plans, all that God has for us. And if you're afraid of failure, do it anyway. Push through it, and you'll be glad that you did. And so today, what I want to do is I just want to wrap up by saying a prayer. But I want to read a scripture to you that I think is kind of encouraging for us. And it's Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you." Isn't it awesome to know that God is with us? When you try that thing that puts a little fear in you, when you try that thing, when you take that step to obey God, and it kind of, you know, makes you a little bit nervous, it's good to know that God is with us. It says, don't be discouraged. You know, God says, don't be afraid over 300 times in Scripture. Over 300 times, God tells us not to be afraid. Some people have counted 365 times that God says don't be afraid in Scripture, you know, one for every day of the year. That's cool. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll take it, you know. But don't be afraid. So he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. We need to let God decide what we're supposed to do. Let him decide what success is supposed to look like and move ahead with his will no matter what we feel like. And so I just want to pray real quick, and if the prayer team wants to head back there, that's cool. But the team kind of had a couple of words this morning, and I wanted to just, if they relate to you, if they apply to you, I want you to go ahead and get prayer today. But one of our prayer team members felt like there was someone here or someone's here that had a fear of stepping forward with God, like had a fear of saying, you know what, I'm committing my life to the Lord. I want to step forward with him. I want to go deeper with him. I want to be more diligent about following his word and being faithful. But you were afraid because you're afraid of just falling on your face. You're just like, hey, I'm just going to fall on my face. Yeah, I tried that and I fell on my face. I tried that and I embarrassed myself. I tried that and I embarrassed, you know, other people. And if that's you, can I just say, don't be afraid and just go get prayer today, all right? Somebody's going to get blessed. Just go get prayer, okay? And then another person felt like someone was here that was afraid of just sort of like moving forward in their life. Just like I'm afraid of moving forward in my marriage because my spouse isn't going to respond. You know, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read. I'm going to grow to be the best husband I can, but my spouse is just going to kind of be, you know, nah, I'm not into it. Or it could be, or my husband just says I'm not into it. Okay, but you're afraid of moving forward because other people in your life might not respond or support, okay? And so I just want to tell you today, just do it afraid. Just move forward. Don't worry about whether they're going to respond or not. Go get prayer today, okay? And then just lastly is, and I just want to encourage people because we talked a little bit about this, about being faithful. Be faithful just to start with the small things, right? If you feel like God is leading you to a deeper relationship with him, but the idea of like getting deeper in the word and spending time in prayer is just sort of overwhelming to you, and you're kind of afraid that if you start it, you're just going to fail, you know, be faithful in the little things, right? God likes that. I think that we serve a God that loves little things, okay? So, you know, you don't have to sit down and like break open the commentaries and the concordance and all that stuff. You know, just be faithful to read a couple verses a day. God loves the small things, okay? Just start there. And so just start with the small things. I just felt like that was a word for somebody today that, you know, they, you know, dreaming big dreams, they want to walk in what God wants them to do. Just start with the little things. Don't start with the business cards. Just start with doing small things, okay? And so let's just go ahead and pray. And Wendy, if you want to come. And I'll be back in the prayer team. So if you need prayer, come back and get prayer. And we will be happy to bless you and pray with you. All right? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just love you so much. God, I pray that, Lord, that we would take to heart your word that tells us over 300 times to not be afraid. God, that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of power and love and sound mind. And God, I pray that we would be a faithful people, faithful people, faithful people, God. God, that we would be far more concerned about just being faithful day in and day out and developing habits of faithfulness, Lord, than we would about setting pie in the sky expectations and then being all discouraged when we don't reach them. God, I believe you're calling people into a deeper relationship with you. I believe you're calling people into a deeper sense of others-mindedness and kingdom-mindedness. God, that you're calling people, Lord, away from a life of consuming and shifting into a life of contribution. God, I pray that you would give us an awareness of your presence, that you walk with us. God, that you would allow us to hear your voice, that we would know that we know that we know when we've heard from you. And God, we would be faithful to your calling on our lives. God, we want to see you more clearly. We want to hold you more nearly, love you more dearly. God, let us be people that just don't hold back. Let us just be people who don't hold back, but are faithful. Faithful, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.